Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
And indeed a very good evening to you. Hello and welcome to the Astronomy Show, where we bring you the latest news and discoveries from all corners of the universe here, right here, 103.2 Dublin City FM. I'm John Dixon. Poor old Ben is a little bit under the weather this evening, so unfortunately it's just me for the next half hour or so. And you can also catch us around the world on dublincityfm.ie and also as a podcast as well. And as always, we welcome any queries or comments or questions that you may have, of course, of an astronomical nature. And you can email us at astronomy@dublincityfm.ie. And you can get us on the text line and the WhatsApp line. Now, at this stage of all this new technology, we have 087-179-1032. So we just have a quick look around to see what's going on in our skies at the moment. And if you look towards the south at the moment, it's very clear outside in Dublin City Centre. If you look south, there's a big bright, shiny object in the sky, and that is a planet called Jupiter. And if you look a little bit further towards the east, there's one that's an orangey colour, which is the planet Mars. So those are the two beauties that are up tonight and fairly well, and it's a good clear night for watching as well. Last week, of course, we had the Gemini meteor shower. Now, I had a really good evening on that. I went out on the 14th, actually. It was crystal clear. And the beauty about the Geminids is that they start very early, just after dark. And you look towards the area of Gemini, which is an area in the sky that has two very prominent stars called Castor and Pollux. And as they raise in the evening, they just gets brighter and brighter. But at one stage, I was seeing a meteor every minute to a minute and a half, which was remarkable. And there can be anything from the tiniest grain of sand to a little bit bigger than that, which gives you a great big flare as well. Mercury, unfortunately, is at its greatest separation from the sun at the moment and will be until the 21st of December. It's too low to be well seen from Ireland, unfortunately, until the new year. Much the same with Venus. It's a very poorly placed to be seen as well. Mars I've just mentioned, Jupiter I've just mentioned. If you are a red spot follower, you can see the red spot appearing on Jupiter if you have a pair of binoculars or a good telescope at 8:08 this evening, and you'll get to see it for, you know, an hour or two just before it turns around, because it's quite a quick planet as it marches through the solar system. Saturn, on the other hand, is also an evening planet this month. It sets at 9 p.m, so it is up there. It's quite difficult to see because it's not very bright. The other two, Uranus and Neptune, and they're quite dim at the moment. They were in opposition on November the 9th, so they're quite hard to see. Plus 5.7 and plus 7.7, which means that you do need to have a good pair of binoculars, or really ones on a tripod, and a good telescope is really the ideal thing to do there as well. So there we go. That's all to see in our skies at the moment. I didn't mention the International Space Station because it's not in our skies until January the 17th. We've had it from the November the 19th until December the 8th, just gone past. And you will get to see it. I don't have the times in the morning skies. I think it was in around 8:30 this morning. But again, it was, you know, it's quite low and it's bright as well. So it's quite difficult to see there. So we go through the daylight hours in sunrise tomorrow morning at 8:38, setting at 16:08. Now, the strange thing about this time of year is that there's very, very little movement in the time difference from day to day. And the 22nd has the same time difference of an 8:38 and 16:08, and the 23rd has 8:39. So it's creeping back and speeding up again. So over the last number of weeks, we've been coming down from 2 minutes or so, losing daylight for 2 minutes, and it's now down to, as from the 22nd, 1 second of a difference. So just, as Ben would say, a fair stretch in the evening. So, and the moon was a fine sight this morning coming into work. And as it was still dark, it was at 11.1%. It's a waxing crescent moon. And it's a lovely sight to see that, as is the crescent one, as it's just appearing in the skies as well. The moon rise tomorrow morning, 06:22, and setting at 14:12. And I was watching to see this morning at what stage the moon disappeared from our sight as the sun came up. And I got into work and I forgot to look. So I got into work sort of just after 8. And I would imagine about 10 or 15 minutes later the moon would have disappeared. So there we go. And just to let you know where the moon is at the moment, it is about 365,973 kilometres. And tomorrow it will be 361, then 358, and so on. So it creeps in and out as it goes around its elliptical orbit. Those two planets, again, if you've just joined us, again, Jupiter, if you look south and high at the moment, there's a big, bright, shiny object. That is Jupiter. And look a little bit towards the east, and you will see the planet Mars, which is two fine sights to watch out for. And there we go. Now, if you're ever interested in knowing, we always refer to time. Now, this is sort of going off a little bit, but time is AM and PM. So we use two chunks of time, 12 hours in each. AM, and it means, would you believe, it's something simple, ante-meridian, which is before midday, and PM is post-meridian, which is after midday. So it's quite as simple as that. There's nothing really to look forward to. And it was something I never even thought about up to this morning when I caught this as well. So clocks are based on circular sundials from the original days, way back from the Egyptians and things like that. But there's tons to read on that particular subject as well. So now you know what AM and PM mean. Now, this time last week, in fact about 5 days ago, the Russian ISS spacewalk was cancelled due to a coolant leak. And the spacewalk by the two Russian cosmonauts aboard the International Space Station was called off after the detection of a coolant leak that they said last Thursday. The mission had been planned for Wednesday. They did call it off. And the reason for this, as was caught just shortly after that bulletin, the Russian and NASA engineers were assessing this particular coolant leak on Thursday last from the Soyuz crew space capsule docked with the International Space Station. And they blame it that it may have been caused by a micrometeorite strike, which would make total sense because we've just been through the Geminids, which was peaking last week, so there would have been lots of dust and particles going at well over 17,500 miles an hour, up to, say, 40,000, and one of them looks like it has hit the International Space Station. So out with the sellotape again, sticky back plastic, or whatever you want to call it. And with a quick fix, they use this sort of a resiny type thing just to fix it again, which is very interesting and essential for making a few repairs on the International Space Station. Now, if you've been listening to Ben and myself over the last number of weeks, we did mention that the NASA InSight lander just recorded its biggest quake on Earth ever, and this was a mega Mars quake, which was 5 times stronger than the previous record, and it's maybe the last big find, unfortunately, from the InSight Mars lander, as the dust has been settling on the solar panels for a number of months now at this stage, and unfortunately eventually the light will be blocked away from the solar panels, and unfortunately there's not much time left for the InSight lander. So that's another one down. The Spirit from 2004 slipped down, as you probably remember, into a sand dune, and they couldn't get it out, so it pointed away from the sun, so its panels were pointing away from the sun, and unfortunately it lost power as well. So that's two of the landers up there at the moment that are not in particularly good health. So the particular photograph that I picked up from earlier on, about 5 or 6 hours ago, is from the seismometer And this is one of the selfies taken by the InSight lander. It's quite remarkable to see that this might be the last picture that we get to see from this particular thingy-bob up there. This little crawler, a little planet walker. So there we go. Now, ever wonder why aliens have never contacted Earth? The new Fermi paradox analysis suggests that we're not that interesting yet. Now, maybe we just don't have the know-how. But if life happens here, then more than likely it's going to happen elsewhere. But as far as we can tell, we're totally alone at this particular stage. So where is everybody? So there are people out there analysing, and the new analysis proposes an alternative solution to this particular conundrum, known as the Fermi paradox. Perhaps we're just being a little bit impatient, and maybe with a multiple of worlds to potentially study, alien civilizations would likely wait for one to start broadcasting their presence before sending a probe. So if we wait 100 or maybe a few thousand years, somebody might come knocking on our door. And of course, we've sent out the Voyagers when we've had recordings on those. It's out beyond our solar system at the moment, traveling at about 40,000 miles per hour. And at some stage, if there are some alien beings out there similar to us, maybe not similar, they'll say, how do you understand that from the recordings from the big disc that's on that as well? So a few things that let aliens know that we're out there. Now then, SpaceX again has launched 56 Starlink communication satellites, and it launched from the Falcon 9 rocket in Florida on Saturday, carrying 54 Starlink internet satellites. And the Falcon 9 was launched from Kennedy Space Center, was making its 15th flight to space, which is no mean feat. And the rocket's first stage returned to Earth just under 9 minutes later, landing on the SpaceX robotic drone ship stationed in the Atlantic Ocean. And this is a remarkable thing to see if you haven't seen it yet. And it's just off the Florida coast. These particular satellites will add to SpaceX's consumer-grade, high-speed, low-latency internet network, and subscribers can currently connect to the Starlink network in more than 40 countries and territories. And the Falcon 9's first stage has landed on the read the instructions drone ship, is what they call it. I don't know what that exactly means, completing the 15th launch and landing of this particular booster. So lots and lots and lots of communications. That will mean that when you're flying, that you will have access to internet that's bouncing up rather than back down again. So it's one of those things that is getting, as day by day, I suppose, it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Now then, you're tuned to The Astronomy Show on 103.2 Dublin City FM. John Dixon here until 8:30 this evening. Thank you indeed for your company. The text line is always 087-179-1032. I think we'll have a little look back as to what has happened over 2022. Seems we're closing the year now in the next week or so, just before Christmas and then afterwards into the new year. So January the 6th saw the SpaceX kicking off its 22 with a Starlink launch. And they claimed the first space mission of 2022, and the company sent 49 Starlink satellites into Earth's orbit aboard the usual Falcon 9 rocket, bringing its grand satellite total to just under 2,000. It's remarkable, that the amount of satellites that are up there. Then we went to January the 24th last, and the James Webb was locked into space. And this marked the massive milestone for the field-altering James Webb telescope. And it was on January the 24th. It reached the second Lagrange point, which was 1 million kilometres out and well past the moon's orbit around the Earth and on the side of our planet, of course, not facing the sun. So it's a remarkable feat of engineering to get that out there to over 1 million miles out into space. February the 18th brought us Perseverance's rover anniversary of landing on Mars, and which was a happy landing on Mars Day. Perseverance 1 year ago to sort of in around this time And it was the youngest Mars rover landing on the red planet, and it's been sending back awesome photographs. I mean awesome. These are fantastic and continued all the way through 2022 and will continue hopefully into 2023. Now we move a little bit further forward into April the 8th. We had the Axiom 1, which launched the first all-private crew to the International Space Station. And this is a fantastic spacecraft, as it's 5 meters across, you know, and compared to about 2.5 meters on the usual ones that brought you up into space. So they've plenty of room to have a little walk around and do what they need to do up there as well. On April the 27th, SpaceX's Crew 4 blasted off, and it left for a trip among the stars aboard the agency's Crew Dragon capsule, if you remember that particular name. And the first of the 6 missions to complete the Tiangong station. This was, if I can just see the date, this was in May. I can't remember the date, actually. Since last year, the Chinese astronauts have been travelling to and from the country's new space station, Tiangong. And by the end of this year, China hopes to complete the spacey abode with 6 missions outlined during the April conference. I think they've done that. May kicked off the mission sequence, beginning with the resupply endeavour, which proved to be very successful for them. The May the 19th, we saw the Boeing Starliner docking on its second attempt. And, of course, if you're into eclipses, as myself and Ben are as well, May the 15th and 16th, we had the total lunar eclipse. And of course, fellow eclipse fans, here's, if you watch the internet, you can see what it looked like. June the 28th brought us the Rocket Lab launching NASA's mission, and this was the wanting of the want to return to the moon and the very step of that dream to complete the agency's capstone mission launched on June 28th. The Luna 5 was launched as well, fairly close to that as well, and that was done in July, so the US isn't the only country zeroing in on the moon, so we'll keep an eye on what's going on, that's to be determined. August, of course, NASA launched the Artemis 1 mission, which was a fantastic thing to watch. It spent 11 days or so out there, and it's safely back to Earth. The September the 26th now, of course, if this is getting closer to where we are now, NASA's DART crashed into an asteroid, and this particular asteroid, Dimorphos and Didymos. The asteroid was called Didymos, and the little moon around it was Dimorphos. And what they tried to do there was smash the spacecraft into the moon that's going around, because they know what speed it's doing, to try and deflect. And they did. And they knocked about 2 seconds off the orbital period, and just proves that they can and have the technology to I suppose divert asteroids if they're coming towards our direction, because we just do not want them whatsoever. September the 29th saw the Juno mission flyby of Europa. And it has been orbiting Jupiter, and it seems like only yesterday, since 2016, has been providing us with gorgeous photographs. Now, these are well worth a look as well. And you may not believe it. And it'll fly by one of Jupiter's moons, Europa, and hopefully send back equally mesmerizing images of the bright orb. Now, they would have taken the photographs at this stage, but they are gathering the information, and we, I suppose, will get to see some of the photos as well. So it's absolutely remarkable. And after 70, I think they might have extended this a little bit, 70 elliptical orbits, they're going to crash the Juno craft into the surface of, when I say the surface, the cloud surface of Jupiter to see how close it can get before it's eaten up with radiation and getting crushed by the pressures of Jupiter, which is only 232 times the size of our own little Earth here, which is not that little, weighing 3 trillion tons, that's what they say. So there you go. October the 25th was a partial solar eclipse. I got to see this as well on my super duper piece of paper with a hole in it, shining it on the floor. It works remarkably to see these and we got to see the partial solar eclipse decorating the sky. And this is when the sun, moon and earth aren't perfectly aligned, so we only get to see the partial. So it looks like a shadow. So, and of course, when you're doing things like this, don't look directly at the sun unless you're wearing the special solar glasses, and because you can turn blind very, very quickly, and that's, I must reiterate that as well. There's a few more to come that we don't know about. A lot of to be determined. The Indian Space Program gets back in the game, and Blue Origin's new Glenn rocket takes off. That's going to be later on this year. If it happens, we're not sure exactly yet, to be determined. And if you were just out recently looking at the Geminid meteor shower peaking on the 13th to 14th, there's still a few floating around. And they came into our evening skies on November the 19th and will disappear on Christmas Eve when we go through the comet's tail. Another one has appeared as well, which is peaking on the 21st to 22nd of December. That's the Ursids, not one of the bigger ones. You have to see probably 10 to 15 per hour on a good dark sky. And it came into our skies on the 13th of December. And it runs out on Christmas Eve as well. So you're getting two previews of this as well. And one to look forward to in from December the 26th until January the 16th, 2023, the Quadrantids. And they peak on the 2nd to the 3rd of January. So if you're a comet watcher, which you like to see the little streaks going across the sky, put those dates in your diary. Up to Christmas Eve for the Ursids, and a few of the Geminids are still around. Excuse me, and the December the 26th till January the 16th, peaking on the 2nd and 3rd are the Quadrantids. So always good and fun to watch as well. So that's a little run around of what happened during the course of 2022. And I don't know if any of you have ever seen a dust devil or a picture of a dust devil here on Earth, and experienced one, and even in Mars they have dust devils, and some of the spacecraft up there have been lucky enough, like Opportunity, to clean these solar panels. Unfortunately, all the rest of them haven't just yet. So the two rovers were expected, of course, to last until the solar panels lost power due to dust accumulation within the first year of landing. So that's happening, unfortunately, now. So that's a little bit unfortunate for that, but maybe in time to come you get one of these big, big dust devils, and you get to see a clearance of the panels as well. Now, we remember Apollo 8 going back so many years to 67, 68, and the newest photograph of the Earth taken from the moon has been taken by the NASA's Orion spacecraft, and it has given us a new perspective on our home planet, because the quality of the photograph is just incredible. And it's getting things ready for the crewed mission planned roughly 2025 with a bit of luck. And of course we get pictures of Earth every day from the satellites and from all the International Space Station photographs as it whizzes around the Earth. But there's something different about seeing ourselves from the other side of the moon. And if you want to Google that as well, it was December 1968 when we had Earthrise with Apollo 8. And just recently we had the one coming back from the Orion spacecraft as well. That text line, as always, 087-179-1032, to do that because we still remember the old number as well. So, there's a new spacecraft, spacesuit being developed from Collins's airspace to get these new, I suppose, you know, spacecrafts to get easy to move around in. And the contract has been awarded to a place called Collins Aerospace to deliver a spacewalking system for potential use outside the International Space Station. And it's the next generation of spacesuit and support systems. At the moment, they're pretty good. They're a little bit stiff. And I've tried one of the gloves that Mikhail Kornienko, when I met him, had, and the touches like the touch of a table tennis bat, you know, the little things that stick out from that. So, and they wear out pretty quickly on a 6.5 hour trip out into space as they're fixing bits and pieces. So, no doubt they'll come up with something new when they have the budget of $97.2 million of a budget. And speaking about space men and space people up in the ISS, the healthier diets for astronauts on the space flights may improve health and performance. As we know, we have muscle density and also the things, their eyesight fails, their back stretches, their muscles weaken. And they could be given an enhanced diet during space flights that include a greater variety of quantity of fruits, vegetables and fish to improve their health. Imagine a fish dinner in the International Space Station. That'd be a bit weird as well. So they're looking at the dietary demands, I suppose, of what the space people eat in space. Now, if you were to buy a telescope, seeing as we have the red man in the suit coming next week, not too far away now, this Saturday coming. Only a few more sleeps to go, which is great. So if you're looking for a telescope, my recommendation to you, and you probably have your own ideas of what you'd like to go for yourself. There are reflectors, there are refractors, there's compound telescopes, and all that sort of thing. And of course you can get out there with a pair of binoculars if you want to, and you can get to see a good wide view of the sky. But if you want to go a little bit deeper and look for things on the surface of the moon, etc., my recommendation would be a Smith Cassegrain, an SCT. Now, the one that I have is an 8-inch one, and I suppose its downfall, it doesn't have a go-to because it's quite an old telescope at this stage. But I won't be changing because the optics are absolutely brilliant in that. So there's a little bit of setting up on that particular one. And if you want to go a little bit more modern, you could go for the go-to telescopes, like the Nexstars and things like that. And you just program in where you want to see, and the machine itself just turns around, the little motor system turns around and points it in the direction that you're looking for. But for ease of use, and this is one that I would push immensely, and you get to see some brilliant details, whether it's on planets or in the deep space like the Orion Nebulas, things like that as well. You get a little spotter scope, and you know, you can point in the direction of the sky. You can stick a camera onto these as well, although you can buy camera mounts now that have motorized to keep it just for cameras only. But the tube itself is nice and short, and it means that it's easy maneuverable if you want to just go out for 10 or 15 minutes. The 4-inch and the 6-inch Nexstar ones are of particular benefit because you can just grab them, put them on the table at the deck chairs outside and just point them and go. Whereas the bigger ones, you need to set up the tripod and just get yourself going from that. But you want to get yourself ready for a good evening of sky watching. And it's pretty cold at the moment, unless you're lucky enough to have your own little observatory in the back garden, a little heater, a heated observatory. Anyway, that is unfortunately the last of this particular program of the Astronomy Show right here on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Next week one that we're on the Christmas break, and we're back again on the first Tuesday of next year, which I think is the second. And Ben and I will be back for that. And just before we go, thanks again for listening. Of course, thanks to James Sweeney and Conor Lennon for putting it available as a podcast. And astronomy.ie. The email address again for comments and questions, astronomy@dublincityfm.ie. That's all from me, John Dixon, for this particular edition of the Astronomy Show right here on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Next is Hello China, followed by 9 PM with Threads with Bren Linnett, 11 PM with Ear to the Globe with Nigel Wood. And he plays his style of world music. Midnight, After Hours, Dave Barry with the Jazz, Blues and Soul until 2 AM. So, please join myself in 2 weeks' time with Ben. And we'll be back with the latest news from around the universe. Have a very, very, very happy Christmas. And I hope Santi brings you something really, really good. Until then, take care of each other. And thank you for listening. Say goodnight, John. Good night, John. Bye bye.
Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.